I'd moved my family into the inner city of D.C. to plant a church. In a period of about 3 months, our lives just kind of fell to pieces. My wife experienced a miscarriage of our third child. Our house was burglarized. My wife was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of breast cancer that had already spread to her arm and needed to be treated right away. After hearing about that, our insurance company contacted us and let us know that they weren't going to cover any of her treatments that they determined it was a pre-existing condition.
Wow, do you ever feel like you've been blindsided by life, but maybe even by God, you know, in terms of, you know, I trust him and I love him and I thought I was doing the right things and I know we get tests in life, but hello, and all of a sudden you wake up one day and there you are. Today, the story of one man, a pastor, and a man and a husband, and the author of a brand new book called Blindsided by God. Peter Chin will join me here in just a minute and share his story with us. And we'd love to hear your story as well, your comments on today's program. You're welcome to share those when you call 888-888-1717 and press the button for our storyline. Join us on Twitter. Come to Facebook. And by the way, all of our programs are available for you. All of the audio from past programs are streamed for you when you go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. All right, let's get Peter on the line with us and hear his story. Peter, appreciate you coming, and welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Randy.
You wrote a book called Blindsided by God. That caught our attention. the title is intriguing. What does that mean to you? I mean, why did you come up with a title like that? Is it coming out of your own story?
Yeah, I think I mean it in two different ways. I think that there was a season of my life where I was blindsided by what God was doing. And just the occurrences that were taking place in my life, I didn't know what God was up to. And so I use it kind of in that negative, what is God doing kind of sense. But I also use it in the more positive sense that I was blindsided by his true character, that through those events, he really revealed what he's really like. And I was kind of equally blindsided, maybe amazed would be a better word, by that aspect of it. I kind of have that double meaning of being surprised by what God is doing, but also surprised by how much better he is than I had imagined. Mm.
Now, you went to Yale University, you went to seminary, you got into ministry, and you write about something you call subconscious theology or a borderline prosperity gospel, and right. I'm wondering, were you thinking, hey, everything is supposed to work out, but maybe it didn't all work out the way you thought?
You know, that subconscious theology was actually, in all the contexts in which I had grown up in the church and in seminary, I had, specifically had been taught and kind of had always learned not to believe in prosperity gospel. So, it was never part of my tradition or never taught to me. But instead, I think I just kind of absorbed it culturally through kind of the American experience of, the harder you work, you're always moving up and, you get more accolades and things like that. And so that was something that I kind of absorbed slowly over time. And I never really realized it. I think it was very subconscious. It was very under the radar for me. And it was some really terrible events in my own life that kind of stripped away the surface to reveal what I really believed about God. And what I found out was that I believed that God should bless me, that, if I was good, then he would be good in that kind of very transactional sense. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really realize that. I, even though I never subscribed to that understanding of God, deep down I had, and I just never knew that before.
Wasn't it Rabbi Kushner wrote the book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People?
Right.
And I'm not sure he had any big answers that would help us as evangelical, followers of Christ. But here you are, things are supposed to be working out good, but bad things are happening to you. What happened? Yeah. I mean, what was the turning point? What were some of the things that went on in your life that caused you to be challenged by some of that thinking?
Yeah. So what happened was I'd moved my family into the inner city of D.C. to plant a church, and really felt called by God to do this. And all the signs that I was able to discern really, really pointed that this was something that God wanted. But in a period of about 3 months, our lives just kind of fell to pieces. My wife experienced a miscarriage of our third child. Our house was burglarized. And then kind of the worst part was when my wife was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of breast cancer that had already spread to her arm and was needed to be treated right away. And as if that weren't bad enough, after hearing about that, our insurance company contacted us and let us know that they weren't going to cover any of her treatments, that they determined it was a pre-existing condition. And so just the collision of all of these things together in one season really just left me spinning, because, you know, here I was trying to plant a church, trying to do something for God, but then all of these terrible things that happened that I felt weren't supposed to happen to the people who were doing God's will, that if you were, again, doing something for God, you were being good, then God would be good to you and give you the things that you wanted. And so it was like kind of, you know, I write about this in the book, but it was like driving down the hallway and then suddenly running into a brick wall. You know, you just don't expect it to be there. And that's kind of how I felt in the midst of all this, that I had expected blessing or at least protection, but instead was experiencing kind of the worst season of my entire life. And that's kind of what stripped away my superficial theology and kind of revealed what I really believed, and that I did believe that, that, you know, that there was a transaction between God, that he was like a Santa Claus. You know, if I was good, he would give me great things. And that's kind of ultimately what I believe.
Yeah.
And it was some really difficult moments that revealed that to me.
All right, hang on, Peter. We got to take a quick break here. We'll be back with more as we talk about being blindsided by God. What a powerful story. And a little more about what you're learning and your journey of living intentionally in your faith.
Hey, hello, my name is Norman. It was about intentional living, about how I've gotten through some adversity, maybe not all of it, but I'm working on that as well. I lost my best friend that we had grown up together from the time we were about 12 or 13. I lost him in January. I lost my precious mother in June 15th of this year. I had an old dog. His name was Oscar. Over the 4th of July, somebody fed him hamburger with glass in it. He died coughing blood in my arms. August the 26th, I lost my dear precious wife. And September the 7th, I was coming back from town and I couldn't, the sun was in my eyes and I hit a guardrail. It totally destroyed the car except for the driver's seat. It wasn't even touched. I came out of that car without even a scratch. How I deal with this adversity and with this loss is I have to remember the adversity and the loss that Christ felt on the cross. Even he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? I have to remember what God said. He said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. I don't know that I could ever give my Son the way God did Jesus. One of the ways that I hold on to my sanity, if you want to call it sanity, is the fact that I know that my time here on earth is limited, but with eternity, it's not.
Boy, when you hear a story like Norman's, makes us think about some of the little things we're facing today, but the reality is we can all, in fact is, in our life, get blindsided and feel like it was by God. You can imagine what Job must have been thinking, feeling. We get his story, don't we? How he responded. But in life, you can get blindsided, and we never know. We're either in a crisis, coming out of a crisis, or about to go in. And today, much encouragement, and I appreciate Peter Chin joining me with his new book, Blindsided by God. And if you have a comment you'd like to contribute to the program on our storyline, give us a call at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or at Facebook/intentionalliving. Back to Peter. Peter, you say that this dark time in your life really helped you correct your view of God's character. You know, tell us, how did that happen?
Yeah, you know, that kind of unfolded in a process. I think there were several moments where I began to kind of deprogram from what I previously believed. And I think just the moment when all this kind of came together, I didn't I didn't enjoy the moment, but it truly revealed to me that this was the way things were. That I, you know, for a long time, for a few months afterwards, I kind of railed against it. I railed against God and just had no idea what was going on. But then after a certain point, I just kind of accepted this was my reality and I had to deal with this. And I had to stop complaining about what cards I was given and instead try to play the cards I had been given. And that was a real turning point to kind of take a deep breath and just kind of step into the situation I had been that had been placed in front of me. And kind of from scripture, a passage of scripture that really spoke to me during this time was Jesus in the garden, that, you know, he prays and he laments what's going to happen and he prays for the cup to be taken away from him. But at a certain point, he stops that prayer and he does step into the calling that he's been given. And that, I took that as a real kind of rebuke, but encouragement to me that that's what I needed to do as well. And that is to stop complaining in some way and to step into what God had and to figure out what God had in store for me, as frightening as that was. So I think that was a big part of it, just that realization that this was my reality and that I had to kind of take it with both hands. Another part of it was, you know, after all this transpired and my wife was going into surgery for her cancer to be removed, we found out while she was on the operating table that she was pregnant with our third child, which is not the way that we had, you know, planned on hearing about a pregnancy. It was very unexpected for us. And that was one of the biggest moments of kind of deconstruction for me, that I realized that my understanding of a simple God who did, you know, kind of very simplistic, mechanistic things was completely shattered. That God was doing something that I could not understand, that I could not put my thumb on, and that was the way of God. And that was a big component of how I surrendered to God. When I found out about that baby, I just thought, God, your ways are obviously not my way, so I just need to surrender to what you're doing right now. So that was a big part of it as well.
Have you always been kind of a control person? You like to keep things control, and that's hard when, as for a control type person, to say, hey, I'm not in control of these things. And you even make the statement that God is wild but good, you know.
Yeah.
That idea that I can't control this God. You know, he's beyond my control. Has that been part of the process for you, just out of your own desire to keep your finger on stuff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not just a controlling person. I am the king of all controlling people. So, you know, I claim that throne for myself. And that was a big part of it, just my need to understand, my need to comprehend things in order to have peace about them, to control, you know, my situation around me. And the realization that a real submission to God requires that he has control, that I'm not leading him, but that I'm instead following, and he's leading me instead. And so that was part of that deprogramming process. It wasn't simply a new understanding of God, but also an understanding of myself and my own tendencies and how those tendencies weren't in line with what discipleship really meant. And so that was a big part of that process as well.
Well, people want to know about the rest of the story. What's happened here? I mean, what have you, not only what you learned going through it, but where are you guys today?
Yeah, so it was a frightening time. You know, several of the doctors told us that we should terminate the pregnancy, that the baby wouldn't survive chemotherapy, or that my wife, you know, if we tried to hold off on chemo, that my wife wouldn't survive. But we really felt like, although we didn't completely understand it, that God had given us his child, and so we went ahead both with chemo and with the pregnancy at the same time, which wasn't advised by the doctors at all. But 9 months later, in September of 2010, my wife and I welcomed our first son, Jonathan, into the world. He was completely healthy. There were no side effects that we could tell from the treatment or anything that he had undergone while he was in utero. And that was just, again, this kind of God showing that he was bigger than whatever conception I had of him earlier, and really just kind of dismantling my tiny conception of God and his ways. What was even more amazing was that after his birth, new studies came out literally a month after he was born that revealed that women who are pregnant while they have breast cancer have far better outcomes and far higher survival rates. And so that showed me something really particular, because all the doctors, the best doctors, had told us that this baby was dangerous for my wife. But, you know, God knew better, that God actually had used this child in some way to protect my wife and to give us some hope in that terrible situation. And so that was, in that 1 year, basically everything that I knew of God was dismantled, but something far better was built in its stead. Mm. He survived. He's now, he just turned 4 this year. And we actually, even though this was also medically impossible, my wife had 2 more children afterwards. That was supposed to be biologically impossible after chemo. But again, God didn't get that memo. No one told him what was impossible or impossible. And she got pregnant again and had we've had 2 more children since.
Right.
And so we're living in light of this new conception of God, a God who can do anything, but that whatever he does really is good and has love and compassion for us.
That's an amazing story, Peter. I want you to hang on. And I want you to come back and share with us what's going on in your life now. What's happened as a result of all this, the good news, I suppose, the living intentionally, what you've learned about that and how that's impacting your life as well. So invited Fred to join you. If they missed the program, have them listen again online. All of our programs are archived for you at theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson, the president of Family Life Communications and your advocate for the family. Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Coming up, Pastor Peter shares more of his story with Dr. Andy. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Dear Dr. Randy, thank you for inviting my mom to Parents' Night Out. I know she has a tough job to do, and I'm not always the easiest person to deal with, but she's been so different since she's come back. She listens more, doesn't raise her voice as much, and I notice her praying more for me too. I hope one day I'll be as good a parent as she is.
The Parents' Night Out Conference with Dr. Randy Carlson is coming in October and November. Register today at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Having instant access to important information is something we've come to expect as part of life in this day and age. And now, you can have instant access to a plan for success in every area of your life with the mobile app from the Intentional Living Center. Search by topic for audio and video clips from Dr. Randy Carlson on things like marriage, finance, parenting, and more.
I will show you how to create a clear picture for your future.
You can interact with the Intentional Living blog and even listen to the daily program at a time that works for you. Download it today for instant access to things that matter from the Intentional Living Center.
It's a statement, simple yet meaningful. It's a powerful reminder that you have purpose and direction. While the millions of other fish are heading into the net, you're living free and living intentionally. It's your stake in the ground. You refuse to live the lie and will now celebrate the truth. It's 2 simple words that declare you're pursuing the one thing today that will change your world tomorrow. It's the Intentional Living wristband, and it simply says one thing. To purchase, go to theintentionallife.com.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And welcome back to today's Intentional Living Center, broadcast of Blindsided by God with Peter Chin. We're going to get back to him in just a moment. You know, when we think about God's work in our life, he's not a genie in the bottle. As I've mentioned, you don't just rub it, you know, the bottle and get whatever you want. God loves you, and he's maturing each of us. And in Peter's case, it took 30 years to build his faith, 3 months to knock it down. Through it all, though, Peter learned that God's goodness is untamable. We'll have more on that in just a moment.
Hello, my name is Cynthia. The doctors have told me that I'm going to need a heart transplant, and then I was recently diagnosed with cancer. So with all this going on, I mean, it's just really, it's really been a blessing, actually. I mean, it's brought me, I feel closer to the Lord. I know He's here with me. I know He cares, and I know that, you know, it's up to Him. You know, I've given Him full charge over my life, but I just wanted to share my testimony. In case there's anyone out there having a tough time, just know that God's there for you. He's there holding your hand. He's beside you all the way, and He's taking care of us. He's fighting our battles for us.
Mm. Very good. Thank you. Much encouragement today, and I appreciate you participating in the program and our Intentional Living Center. You know, we talk about all the areas of faith and family and finance and so on, and we can get knocked on the side of the head in any of those areas unexpectedly. The question is, do you have faith to continue to trust God? There's hope. There's hope. And that's why we're doing this today, to remind you of that hope. All right. Hey, Peter, I appreciate you joining me today. As I understand it, your family has since moved from Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. So tell everybody, where are you now, and what's new in your lives?
Yeah, so we relocated out of D.C. into Seattle, Washington, and I work with a church called Rainier Avenue Church. It's very diverse, multi-ethnic, multi-generational, and it's located in one of the most diverse zip codes of the United States, actually, 98118. And our hope here is just to really promote wholeness, you know, in people's lives, that their lives may be made whole in Christ, and not just whole in a spiritual level, but kind of on a consistent level, that their whole lives would be filled with God's presence, but also that wholeness would overflow to the community as well, that we don't think it's something that simply stays in the church's walls, but, you know, that joy and the new life that we have in Christ really should begin to affect the community that's around us. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that we try to foster here, that sense of being whole in Christ, but having that overflow to the people and to the neighborhoods around us. And it's a wonderful community, and it's just an amazing sight to see kind of that Revelation 21 image of, you know, people from all nations coming together in unified worship of God. It's an amazing sight.
Fantastic. What do you say to someone, Peter, who's not feeling what you're feeling? They hear it, and they get excited, and they think, great for him, wish I had it, don't understand it. What do you say? They don't feel the presence of God today.
Yeah, you know, I think a big part of it is to realize that our lives are really like stories, you know, and any story, you can't judge what is going on by one chapter of it or one page. And that very often is how we judge God, is that we look at one moment of our lives, the current one usually, and we assume this is what God is, this is what God does, and I'm suffering, so God allows this in my life. Mm-hmm. But really, the character of God and plans of God are revealed over the course of a story, and it takes time for that story to kind of reveal itself. And so that's kind of the first encouragement I give to people in that situation is, you know, let God finish the story. Don't be too quick to assume that this one snapshot really describes what God has in store for you, that it might still be coming. You might be in a middle chapter of a very long book, and to kind of let your perseverance allow you to get to that final chapter. But also, I would also say that, you know, I agree that I don't really think there are happy endings in that kind of Hollywood sense where everything is perfect. You know, there's no guarantee that in my life we won't experience suffering ever again, or my wife won't get sick, or that I won't get sick. You know, that's not my hope. My hope is not that my circumstances will never get worse. My hope is in Christ, and my hope is in the life that He's given me, both in this life, but also the one to come. And so it's important to realize that we don't believe in happy endings. We believe in an eternal happy ending. In this life, we're looking for glimpses of God, and those glimpses give us the encouragement and the strength to persevere in difficult moments. And so, you know, not to get too caught up in the whole narrative of everything will be perfect, but that we see God in glimpses of our lives, and that is enough for us.
Mm. Fantastic. Hey, Peter, it's been good to meet you today and hear your story. Much passion. I encourage our listeners to consider reading your book, Blindsided by God, Disappointment, Suffering, and Untamable Goodness of God. You can find out about it at our website. Come to theintentionallife.com. We wish you the very best and pray for you that you find much success in what you're doing there, Peter.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
God bless you.
It was back in 2010. My father had passed away. I mean, he was the dad. I think he was the closest thing that you could get to God being right next to you on earth. I know all daughters think their fathers are their hero, but he really was my hero. 3 weeks after my father passed away, our house burned down unexpectedly in the middle of the night. At the time, my four grown children were living with me and my 101-year-old grandmother. I wasn't home at the time. Myself and my daughter worked third shift. My older boys were there. Their dog woke my oldest son up. He got his other brother out. My oldest ran into my grandmother's bedroom, who could not walk. The fire had started in her bedroom. She grabbed something and wrapped it around him. He ran in to get her. My son got burned going in. He said he got into her room and there were flames everywhere. He said there was a perfect ring around Grandma's bed. She just had the covers up over her nose and eyes. And my son said all she kept saying was, he said it'll be okay. He said it'll be okay. My son picked her up out of the bed, carried her out. He got burned going in and out, ended up in the hospital. My grandmother, there was not a mark on her other than a little soot. No smoke inhalation, no burns, no red marks, nothing. And I told my son, I said, you know what? I'm sure that was Jesus or God's angel, someone standing there, you know, telling Grandma, it's going to be okay. And it was. And during this time, there were other issues going on. One of my children had a drug problem that they were struggling with. And life really blindsided me. But I just want to let everybody know God is there. He is. Just hang on. Keep your head up. Say your prayers. And, you know, today, 4 years later, our lives are wonderful. They're not perfect, but everyone is okay. We're all living in a different house. Everyone has jobs. My child that had the drug problem is doing wonderful. It has been clean for over 2 years. Just hang in there. God is there with you. Just don't let go.
Thank you for sharing that. In this material world in which we live, we try to get an explanation for everything that we hear, including her story. And the power of stories, and one of the reasons we love to share stories on Intentional Living, is because the stories illustrate and demonstrate the miraculous power of God to intervene and blindside us at times with things that we can't even imagine or expect. And that's been the power of today's program. Thank you for sharing your story with us, which, by the way, we'd love to hear when you call 888-888-1717. You know, you as a parent or as a grandparent have one shot at raising your kids or grandkids, one opportunity to get it right. God gives us about 17, 18 years to do that. And our vision here at Intentional Living is to come alongside of parents and to help you be intentional as a parent, to do a good job and to applaud and cheerlead with you as you raise your kids. And we have a special Parents Night Out, The Secrets of Intentional Parenting. It's a tour that's going to start in Albuquerque in just a few weeks, October the 2nd, Friday night, and then traveling to Michigan, Midland, October 9, Jackson, October 10, Flint, October 11. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, and then Phoenix, October 23 and 24, and Mason, Phoenix, and then Tucson, November 6. I encourage you, get your tickets today. I'm going to be speaking. My wife will be with me. We're going to have a great celebration of parenting. Get your tickets at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Upcoming program with our workplace contributor, Linda Swindling, dealing with whiners and complainers in the workplace. We'll see you next time.